Dermot Broughton's been good enough to join me to talk some real stuff. How are you, Derm? Great to have you on.
Hey, Duane, how are you going?
I'm going well. You've been over here, you've gone back, and then you're coming back again.
Yes, I'll be back in there tomorrow morning. I'll watch the footy on TV tonight and how our boys cover it there tonight on Fox and listening in on SEN as well.
So we've been playing a bit of what would you rather, who would you rather kind of competition the last hour, Derm.
Oh, yeah.
So let me throw you a thought. What would you rather, play for a Victorian-based team where you only get four, maybe five true home games against an interstate team at your local ground, but you only have to travel four or five times and you get 17 games in your own state? Or would you rather have 11 true home games in your state but have to travel every second week from Perth?
The Perth thing is, if you're a reasonably good team, I always subscribe to the thought that the Perth boys, before a game, they only travel 2.5 hours, whereas we travel 3.5 hours. So to me, it was, however you returned home, yeah, that they'll say it affects your recovery, but how you travel to the game, I always thought, was a more difficult proposition to overcome once you landed and you were there acclimatising to the time difference. I'm sure there'll be some opposition to that, but that's just what I felt. I probably would have thought it'd be more advantageous to be somebody lying in wait 2,500 kilometres away.
And sleeping in your own bed.
Yeah, for 11 teams a year to come and travel 2,500 k's to you as a one-off that they're not used to.
Another question, Derm, that's been thrown up this week over and over and over again. Who has to change, the umpires or Jack Ginnivan or both?
Both, absolutely both. So let's strip this back, and this is something that I was thinking about this today. I didn't know you were going to ask me, but I've just been thinking while I've been doing a bit of work around the house. Why do we give, say, an in-the-back free kick? And the answer to that is for the protection and the safety of the player. Why do we give kicking in danger? Because it is a dangerous action. And you don't actually have to hit somebody with your foot. It's called in danger. That's the rules. There was a time when we said, no, you actually have to make definite contact because it's a danger to the person it's perpetrated against. So an over-the-shoulder too high rule is to protect the person who is being infringed against with something that is considered a dangerous action. Not many over-the-shoulder actions are dangerous. And the problem that Jack Ginnivan has had with himself is that he has seen where players have come at him and they are aiming at him while he's got the ball to apply a tackle to an area which is legal. He thereafter has slumped at the knees, rolled the shoulder in and lifted the arm up so the tackler's arm goes high on him. He's willfully endangered himself, which is akin to the same result as ducking. But when you, two times on the weekend, I don't think Jack deserved every one of them, two times on the weekend, he was down getting the ball from a low level, i.e. on the ground. If you are doing that, you are entitled to stay down there. It is not ducking. You have gone down for the ball. It is incumbent on the tackling player then to make sure he doesn't endanger you. What happened on the weekend with Jack was that the umpires, because of previous history, have failed in their responsibility to protect and make sure that Jack Ginnivan wasn't endangered, and he was. We get marking contests where an arm drapes over a shoulder and we blow the whistle. That's too high. Nobody's in danger. But that's the rules and we live by it. This is an action when you are down over the ball and you are entitled to do so, and a tackler comes in and has, because they believe, a free shot at you, the umpire has failed in their charter to protect you from an incorrect tackle. Not all, but some. So previous actions by Jack has hurt him here, and the umpires have articulated that by blanket ruling him for no head high contact. I thought he was incredibly harshly dealt with on the weekend. As I say, there were still three tackles I thought that he did slump into, but there were definitely two which blind Freddie could see from the back of the grandstand that he was picking the ball up and it should have been a legitimate free kick.
Love it, Derm. Love it. Got another one to throw at you. Who's under more pressure to win this weekend? Adelaide, given they're winless and lost to three teams that finished below them last year, and they open gather round tonight in a marquee game on national TV prime time, or Brisbane, expected to make the grand final again, but winless so far?
Look, if it wasn't for the fact that Adelaide were in on home territory and the entire state will be watching them, if the laydown was there, that Brisbane, they probably inside will be, they'll be feeling the heat, but they won't be saying this is panic stations. They're a good team. They know they're a good team. They've struck three teams that have been pretty switched on at the time. They have a few issues the way they are allowing themselves to be scored against. They've got some issues the way that they are failing to retain the ball in the forward line. So they've got some stuff that they need to work on. But I think by the end of the year, when we're counting up the end of their 23 games, I think they'll be in the plus side of the ledger. Well, I'd be pretty certain they'll be in the plus side of the ledger. Adelaide are a different story, though. I mean, they'll feel the pressure because the entire state are going to be watching them. The thing I've really gone to town on Adelaide with my study here, and I've often said this about Adelaide in the past, even when they're a grand final team. Who is the one person in their forward line who wins the ball when it is not coming in on the forward's terms? There's only one now. His name's Isaac Rankin. Well, Tex was the best of his career last year at doing it. So that was the first time in his career he won the ball when it wasn't totally on text terms. So that, when I say totally, he still wins the odd one, but they're few and far between. So in your forward line now, you've got Tex who's showing signs of rust. He'll probably come good at some stage, we hope. But he doesn't mark the ball high up above his head. There was a few freeze frames where he jumped in that I looked at in slow-mo and rewound again. And he jumped in from the side and went one-handed into a pack mark. And I'm thinking to myself, what was he trying to achieve there? It's just, you can't mark the ball. You can't soft drop it in front to your teammate. So he's a little bit lost at the moment. He needs more time in the saddle. The other one, Darcy Fogarty, doesn't really jump to the highest point and mark it. He's a one-on-one body player or gets marks on the lead, which once again is, if your midfield is semi on top or on top, you can actually run to where you want to receive the ball, but you're not getting it on worst case scenario. And worst case scenario means that you stand shoulder to shoulder or there's a second or third defender in the vicinity. He doesn't mark the ball high off the ground. So without Riley Kilthorpe in there, they don't really have somebody who reaches over packs and the like. So that's why I think their first port of call is that the ball's leaving there a forward line without any great threat aerially, or the only one really is Rankin on the ground. The other one is their midfield, and David King's spoken about this before. I see they've named Keys on ball. I think they still play him as a forward line pressure player, but I really feel that they have to put Soligo in there. Dawson's an excellent player. We know that. We saw how good he has been in the last 2 years as he's moved into the midfield. But Soligo's ability to sidestep is very, very good when you hold it up against Rory Laird, Matty Crouch, or even if Burgess goes in there. Berry goes in there. So they don't have a lot of that exit speed from the midfield. So I think Soligo is the one that has to play on the inside more.
Tough game to tip, Derm, is Bulldogs and Cats. Who are you going for?
How are we looking at this one? I've seen both teams with the naked eye over the weekend, last weekend. Cats were insanely good for 30 minutes, the first quarter, and then they were just good for the last three quarters against Hawthorn. But they were, I mean, they gapped Hawthorn by 7 goals in the first quarter. They could have played anyone. I mean, let's say that the Giants are the best team in the comp right now. That would have been on for young and old, and they might have even got a lead on the Giants in that type of form in the first quarter. I think, and then their professionalism behind the ball, their ability to stop the opposition when it went into turnover mode and they come forward, it was like they'd been set up for 10 minutes behind the footy and knew what you were thinking. Yeah, they were so well drilled. But I will say they did tire. Hawthorn started to get through and just were unable to capitalise on a lot of their opportunities. And they did kick incredibly effectively as well. So it's not as if they're unbeatable. This one will go closer than most people would suspect. But I'm probably just going to shade with the Cats because of their professionalism. See, the Dogs, if they can get rolling in the middle, which, as we know, they will with Bontempelli, that could be... every week we get upsets. This is the one where you're probably looking... If the Dogs are an outsider, this is probably the game that you would think an upset will come from. But for me at the moment, just because of their professionalism, the Cats.
And what would it be? Would it be an upset if Fremantle beat Carlton?
Neutral ground.
And they're undefeated.
Yeah, I know. And they're actually looking good down back, aren't they? Mm. With what's his name? The captain, Alex Pearce. So,
yep.
If I was one of the two Carlton big guns up forward, I'd say I'd be looking at Fremantle come out and I'd be thinking, I'd be looking at Alex Pearce and I'd be looking at my mate sideways, whether it's Harry looking at Charlie or Charlie looking at Harry, and I'd be saying under my breath, go to him, go to him, go to him. Piggy Dunstall and I used to do that. So, yeah, but he was in incredible form last week. I think just on neutral territory, I think we'll go for Carlton. Yeah.
Great to have you, Derm. I better let you go. We've got Sam Frost. Well, I'll see you at, I'll either see you at Nord Oval or Mount Barker or you and I are working together somewhere.
Yeah. Say good day to Frosty for me. He's an absolute ripping bloke.
I'll tell him you said that. Sam Frost to join me in a matter of minutes. Derm Brereton to join me in a matter of days. Well, are you driving or am I up to Mount Barker? Or with Dicko driving? Or is it Moons?
We're too old to drive. We get the new kids on the block to drive.
I look forward to it, Derm. Thanks for your time. AFL Nation commentator, Fox Footy's finest, the five-time day, five-time night superstar, Derm Brereton joining us for a chat.